This is. The day is done. Let it be what it was. A Stranger Things fanfic, written by Hear Just Roar, and read by Rena Jenkins. The story is rated PG-13 and contains the pairing Chrissy Cunningham, Eddie Munson, with additional tags for canonical character death. Chrissy Cunningham lives. They can both be true. Eating disorders, introspection, character study, alternate universe canon divergence. I just think it would be neat if time travel didn't tie everything up in neat bows sometimes. First kiss. No spoilers. Summary. On the first day of spring break 86, Chrissy Cunningham wakes up on Eddie Munson's couch. The thing is, she's pretty sure she died last night. Author's notes at the end of the fic. Chrissy knows that this is not her bed. Because her bed isn't nearly this lumpy, and the pillow under her cheek smells very distinctly of boy. She shifts and cracks open an eye to squint into the room. She didn't take off her makeup last night, and it makes her eyes feel tacky with old mascara. Eddie Munson's trailer. Chrissy swallows, licks her lips, and assures herself that her cheer uniform is still very firmly on. Wrinkled now from sleeping on the couch, she's certain of it, but she knows she didn't do anything she shouldn't have last night. Aside from the joint, but that was a given. There's a blanket draped over her, and, she notes with interest, a black leather jacket spread across her middle as well. Eddie's jacket. She must have looked cold to him. Chrissy takes care not to let it fall to the floor as she shifts, rolling over on the cushions and nearly kneeing Eddie in the head as she does so. She startles, his tangled mop of dark hair sprawled over the couch by her legs. He's snoring a little, huddles up on the floor and pressed to the couch, using the edge as a pillow. His arm is outstretched towards hers. Chrissy swallows again, her mouth very dry. Because she remembers coming here last night, remembers Eddie offering her the special K if she still wanted it, and how her uncertainty must have been etched across her face because Eddie asked if she was positive she didn't want to start a little lighter. He had a stash of quality product to get for himself if she was interested in not diving into this head first. He didn't mind. And she remembers getting high with Eddie Munson in the living room of his trailer, leaning up against his shoulder on the couch and asking him why he never talked to her before. And she remembers his answer about cheerleaders and drug dealers, and she remembers laughing at his stammering. But, Chrissy remembers something else. A puzzle piece memory. An edge with no home in the frame. So she reaches out and brushes her fingers over the inside of Eddie's arm, just under his tattoo. The skin there is soft, and the thought drifts across her tired mind then that even Eddie Munson, maybe especially Eddie Munson, has vulnerable spots. He wakes with a sharp inhale, and deep, dark eyes peer up at her from under a curtain of hair. Something in them strikes her then. He looks like he's seen a ghost. Eddie, she says, rasping on his name. Did I die last night? He gets the coffee going and lets her hand him his jacket, setting her up with an empty mug. Not one from one of the multiple shelves available, she notes with out-of-place amusement, but one from the kitchen cupboard, and disappears into a different room. She hears the water turn on and assumes he's brushing his teeth. Chrissy taps her nails against the ceramic in her hands and waits. Eddie reemerges with a yawn and a stretch that pulls his wrinkled shirt up over his waistband. Chrissy absolutely does not look at the sliver of skin briefly revealed there. She doesn't. Because Eddie Munson isn't cute. Cannot be cute with his hair tousled and mussed from the way he slept on the floor. And the way it's a little funny to see him padding around his house in socked feet this early on a Saturday. He doesn't look like the larger-than-life super senior who commands the attention of the lunchroom at a whim. He just looks like a boy. He pours her coffee, asks if she wants sugar, and when she says no thank you, polite as pie, Eddie says, I have no fucking idea. It takes her a moment to realize he's answering her question. Both of them leaned on opposite sides of Eddie's kitchen counter, hot coffee in hand, and Eddie Munson has no idea if she died last night. Fabulous. He's got his own mug clutched under his chin. More creamer than coffee, by the way, she'd seen him fix it. But he's staring past her. Toward the living room ceiling. Chrissy sips at her too hot coffee to avoid looking too. She's afraid to see what he sees. I remember, she says, uncertain. I remember getting high with you last night, but there's a memory where we didn't get that far, Eddie says, confirming what the dark pit in her stomach tells her. I've got something in my head, too, he confesses, finally meeting her eye. Chrissy fights down her ridiculous blush. Eddie has very intense eyes. She wishes she'd never noticed. Got this whole slew of memories, days worth of them, he mutters. Chrissy's arm aches in a way she doesn't want to think about. Alternate worlds and demons and something about music, and it's red, she says suddenly. Everything is red. Eddie chews his bottom lip, and Chrissy refuses to notice it. Yeah. But none of it. She chokes on nothing, or maybe on everything. None of it happened. I think it did, he says, and there's something very broken in his eyes. And I don't think I made it either. Eddie drives her home and drops her off a block away from her house. Chrissy hadn't asked him to. And when she gets out, she pauses at his rolled down window, curling her fingers over the frame. We're alive, she says firmly. And Eddie laughs.
Keep it that way, Cunningham. Don't go getting into cars with any strange men.
Aside from you, she asks, and can't help the way her mouth curls on it.
There's something deeply wrong with reality,
but Eddie Munson makes her smile.
Maybe that's what's wrong with reality.
But she likes that she can make him smile, too. It's fond and warm and a little taken aback.
See you around, Chris,
he says, and her heart gives a startled thud. She steps back from his van, waves goodbye like a child, and thinks about when she went to see The Outsiders in the theater, years ago now. Her girlfriends had swooned over Patrick Swayze and Tom Cruise, giggling in the overly air-conditioned multiplex, the way 15-year-olds do, and on the way home, they talked about who they'd liked best. And all the while, all Chrissy could think was that if any of the greasers had been real, not a single one of them would have given them a second look. They were poor and wild, and everything good church-going girls were supposed to avoid. But wild and reckless could come with a kind heart. And wasn't that its own sort of religion? I hope I never see Dallas Winston again, Cherry Valance had said.
If I do, I'd probably fall in love with him. Chrissy thinks she understands. Jason breaks up with her on Sunday. She chases the bubbles in her Diet Coke with her straw and nearly misses the whole thing entirely. The diner off the highway is full of post-church parishioners and pensioners, and they've been coming here every week since Jason had asked her so politely to sophomore homecoming. Habits. Always habits. Chrissy looks up. What? Jason, perfect Colgate smile Jason, scratches at the back of his neck. I can't explain it, he says, and she believes him. But it feels like I'm not supposed to have you anymore. Chrissy wonders if he ever had her in the first place. Her prom dress is just a shade too tight, because her mother brought it in without asking. Chrissy takes a deep breath and feels the fabric constrict her ribs. All her bones are too jagged for her body. Tuesday rolls in with a thunderstorm and a crackle of lightning she can feel in her veins. When she closes her eyes, all she can see is red. Eddie Munson's trailer is 15 minutes away. She makes it in 10. He answers the door with dish gloves on, his eyebrows so far up they disappear into his bangs. There's suds drying on his shirt, and Chrissy does her best not to stare. He lets her in, and she follows him back to the kitchen sink. Wordlessly, she picks up the kitchen towel hanging from a hook. And they stay like that, Eddie doing his dishes, and Chrissy taking them silently from him to dry them. They pile up beside her on the counter, and Chrissy finds herself wishing she knew what cupboards they belonged in. Eddie flicks his hair back over his shoulders irritably, hunched over the hot water and soap, and Chrissy doesn't think twice about pulling the scrunchie from her wrist. The green stands out starkly against his dark hair, softer than it looks in her fingers, as she cards it back for him, the same way she would for any of her friends at cheer practice. This isn't cheer practice. And Eddie Munson isn't her friend. She chews on her lip as she drops back onto flat feet, having been perched on tiptoe to reach him. He is larger than life without trying to be, and Chrissy has found herself feeling all of 6 inches tall lately. What are you supposed to do? She asks, her voice coming out just the slightest bit chipped. When you're not supposed to be alive anymore. Eddie considers her question, and considers it carefully. He pulls off his dish gloves, hangs them over the edge of the sink, and turns to face her. He looks younger with his hair pulled back. His eyes, deep and dark and kind, always so kind when he looks at her, like he sees the parts she crams down into the dark where her mother can't find them, bore holes right through her. And suddenly, her jeans and sweater don't feel like enough layers. Eddie Munson sees her. She doesn't know why. She doesn't know why her boyfriend of 2 years couldn't see her shaking in the hallways, but a boy she was buying weed from heard her pathetic plea for him to stay with her and did. She doesn't know why she's alive when she so very clearly remembers otherwise. Her tongue is too big for her mouth, jaw aching. I think, Eddie says, leaning back against the counter. that what you're supposed to do is whatever the fuck you want. And he smiles, like Chrissy knows what she wants. Like Chrissy Cunningham has ever known what she wants. Like she hasn't spent a lifetime carving out chunks of herself to fit in the spaces that other people make for her. She smiles politely and does her makeup in the mirror, tells her boyfriend she loves him and holds his hand, goes to church every Sunday and obeys her parents, and it's still not enough. She still died in this trailer. She did everything right and still lost. So what does it matter if she takes the things that make her hands itch with desire? What does it matter if her prom dress doesn't fit right, or that Jason never listened when she took his hands off her hips, or that she can't think of a single song she likes that someone else didn't show her first? What does it fucking matter? Eddie is looking at her, arms crossed over his chest, dark, dark strands of hair slipping out of the hair tie to frame his face, and Chrissy furrows her brow. He dips his head, and it doesn't feel like pity. What do you want, Cunningham? You? She doesn't say. I want that freedom you have. I want you to hold my hand and show me how big the world could be if I just stepped off that cliff's edge with you. She can't. She can't say that. Not yet. Maybe not ever. But she steps toward him and gives him space to run away. Eddie doesn't run. And she reaches out, carefully, to twist her fingers into the hem of his shirt, damp with dishwater, and looks up at him from under her eyelashes. Eddie shifts his stance, uncrosses his arms, and lets his hands hover at her hips. She'd let him touch if he wanted. Chris, he breathes, and her name fans across her nose, unsteady and unsure in a way that doesn't quite suit him. Can I? She asks. And when he nods, Chrissy Cunningham surges up on her toes to kiss Eddie Munson in his kitchen, her scrunchie in his hair like a promise, the living room ceiling behind them like a ghost. Two lonely people. Not meant to be alive. This house is haunted because they're still in it. The end. Author's notes. I've written this before I've seen volume 2. Whatever happens, I promise my own predictions are not spoilers. See y'all on the other side. Explanations? In my work? It's less likely than you think. Sometimes I like to write disjointed style. It's fun. Try it. Be free. I cannot believe I forgot to mention that Chrissy tying Eddie's hair back with her scrunchie was inspired by some gorgeous fan art by Harry Tudor on Tumblr. Please forgive me. You can see it here. Link in Podfic metadata. Comment if you liked, and if you didn't like, well, come on, man, I did my best, but actually, please comment, y'all are freaking me out. Reader's notes. I feel like implications of time travel should be a archive tag because I have lived through the time travel and don't remember it because of the time travel paradox is fantastic. Picking up the pieces afterwards. What the fuck do you do when you were supposed to be dead and how do you deal with that? Chrissy, you have so much going on. It's rough for you. But I'm glad you have Eddie as a buddy. This podcast was recorded for X-Man Hater as part of ITPE 2022. I hope you enjoyed it, and thank you for listening. Have a nice day.